truth and the truth of God's character in the reliability of the pages of Scripture. But not only that, but also in the testimony of Jesus Christ, who is the Word made flesh. And so what does that mean for us? It means that we ought to be excited in plunging headlong into the words of Scripture with the comfort of knowing that it is a strong and reliable foundation on which to build our lives. Amen? God's Word is unchanging. The second aspect I want to speak about as we speak about the immutability of God is the immutable moral principles of God. The immutable moral principles of God. Certain attributes of God we can call moral in the sense that they are shared to a limited degree, that they are things that we have that God also has as redeemed people. And so some of those things are holiness, love, mercy. And while we have them in an imperfect way, they are aspects of moral character that talk about character and our conduct. And they all speak of the goodness of who God is. God's immutability is not as much as we might think an element of his character. Rather, his immutability is better a description of all his character qualities. And for this example, I want to turn to Psalm 89. In Psalm 89, the psalmist is lamenting the unfaithfulness of Israel and how it seems the people wander from God often. And yet, despite this wandering from God, God remains faithful to the promises which he made to David in the covenants. There at verse 28, Psalm 89, verse 28 says this, "My steadfast love I will keep for him," speaking of David, "forever, and my covenant will stand firm for him. I will establish his offspring forever and his throne as the days of the heavens. If his children forsake my law and do not walk according to my rules, if they violate my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will punish their transgressions with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. But I will not remove from him my steadfast love or be false to my faithfulness. I will not violate my covenant or alter the word that went forth from my lips. Once for all, I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David." You see, God's moral character is not affected by persons. God remains good no matter how we act towards him. God remains good no matter what evils we purvey as human beings. God does not even respond to evil by breaking his moral character. I remember a conversation I had with one of my parishioners, and he was describing to me he had a son that was, let's say, inventive in breaking rules, and was a very difficult child. And he described to me his process of punishment, and he said he'd always go, as soon as he heard what his son did, he'd always go and pace around in circles in the garage for at least a half hour. I said, "Well, why do you do that?" And he said, "Because if I punished him there, I'd probably kill him." But this does betray the reality. Our moral character as human beings is affected. It can be broken. It can be pushed to a limit. And when it does, it is pushed into the territory of evil. Be angry and do not sin, the scriptures tell us. And yet oftentimes that is the case. And we're going to pray about the things that are going on in Israel. And when you hear the things that are going on, I know personally, I become very, very angry. And I'm pushed to the limit. You see, the evil of people can often push us to evil ourselves. God does not suffer from unreliable good characters we do. And we are thankful for that. God does not suffer from a squishy morality. And this is the encouragement that he offers in Psalm 89. He is reliable in his good character. He will keep his promises. And this is the encouragement that we have as Christians. God is reliable in his goodness. He is reliable in his promises. He is reliable in his word. He is reliable in his mercy. He is reliable in his love. And he is reliable in his grace. I mean, God says something, we can count on it because he does not lie. And it is on God's moral, consistent, good word that our hope of salvation lies as Christians. You see, we can talk about the mechanisms of redemption. We could talk about substitutionary atonement. We can talk about all of this deep theology, but the simple reality remains, as we dive deep into all these things, we'll find that our hope and our security as redeemed people rests in the Word of God. It rests in His promise. We are redeemed through the blood of Christ because God says it is so. And that's how we know it is so. In 1 John 5:10, it says this: whoever believes in the Son of God has this testimony himself. Whoever does not believe in God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. And I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Why do we know that we're redeemed? Why do we know that we're forgiven? Because God has said it is so in Christ Jesus. The encouragement that we find in this characteristic of God is that our salvation, our redemption, our security rest upon the reliability, not of our own character. What a nightmare that would be. But on the character of God. So draw comfort from and security in God, who is reliable and immutable and good, even when we are not. The third thing is this, quickly: the immutability of the personal perfections of God. The personal immutability of the personal perfections of God. My kids both had birthdays. Jonathan was in September. Ariana was in October. And every year when they do their birthdays, we go to that measuring stick on the wall. Does anybody else have one of these? And we measure them and update their how tall they are. And they got about 2 inches, both of them, this past year. And you know what? That is intensely sad for a father, isn't it? And in fact, on the very days for both of them, we brought them back from the hospital and put them to bed the first night in our home. I was overcome by sorrow because everything around us as parents is changing, isn't it? And we hold on to these moments with a certain, recognizing that they are a certain scarcity to them, that they are rare and that they are short. And that is because we all live in a changing world, rapidly changing. And even though we try, it seems, to hold on to things, we find that even under our grasp, they're shifting and changing. God is the creator of every force and power in the universe. And as the creator of every force in the universe, he stands in contrast to the changing universe. The psalmist says it well in Psalm 102, of old you laid the foundations of the world. This is verse 25 of Psalm 102. Of old you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end. The children of your servants shall dwell secure. Their offspring shall be established before you. You see, God is the creator and the sustainer of the universe, and as such, he is uninfluenced by the changing of the universe, which he created and sustains by his reliable, steady power. The world may change, but God doesn't change. There is no force that can influence him. There is no force that can influence his character, that can influence his plans. There's no power of evil that can change his providence. Theologian John Miley says this. He says, the earth and the heavens as temporal forms of existence are ever in a process of change, but even this ceaseless change arises from changeless laws, which point to an unchangeable divine original. In the perfection of his personal attributes, God is forever the same. The existence of the universe itself is evidence of the unchanging, unalterable character of God, but it is also a testament to the fact that nothing in all this ever-changing universe can influence God. Creation itself bears witness to the unchanging God. Because if God created the laws and the powers of nature, if he designed the wills of all living things, then all these things are by nature subservient to him by their very nature. So God stands. God stands as an enigmatic fortress against all the wicked powers of the universe, some of which we'll talk about in our prayer time. But he is not only an enigmatic fortress. He has also made himself our enigmatic fortress. Proverbs 18:10 says this, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and is safe." You see, this is why as Christians we can draw comfort and encouragement from praying the will of God. Because to pray that the will of God be done is the most sure and steady comfort and hope that we can have. Whatever you are going through, whatever powers of evil, whatever powers of darkness, whatever brokenness is coming against you in your life, it cannot bend, it cannot adjust, and it cannot manipulate the plan of God for you. And God's plans for you are good. For we have this sure and certain hope in Romans 8:28. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. You see, when we pray, we recognize firstly that God has a plan for us that is good as we seek his face. And secondly, that that plan is unchangeable, written both in history and in the future. The comfort of our present life is that through Christ, our eternal good and God's immovable plans are bound together and are inseparable, unassailable by the forces of evil. So Christians, pray in good comfort for God's will. Not because we wonder if it will come to pass, but because we stand in wonder of its surety and steadiness. In these things, we can find a great and a certain hope in an unchanging God. And if that has not prepared us to spend time in prayer, the character of who God is reminded us that we can pray in good comfort and in good hope. I don't know what will. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for your character, that you are sure, that you are steady, that you are the rock upon which not only the universe is built, but also our lives. And God, we thank you for the unchanging word that you have given us. We thank you for your moral character that we count on, that we rely on. We thank you, Lord, for your perfections and who you are. And God, we realize that these things are the things which can give us a steady and a sure hope when all other hopes fail us. And God, we pray for these here tonight, that these Christians here would find that encouragement, would find that hope, that we would recognize that your purposes will come to pass, that your character will not change, and that your promises are sure. And may we find courage in this. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.